number 70. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's story is called Beloved, and it's the fourth and final part of the mini-series beginning with Relic. Kia has joined forces with Mamo, and together they hurtle towards Wolf 359B to discover Kia's fate. I'm close to the end of a long journey that's taken me from the archaeological dig at Axum, the flight out from Djibouti spaceport, 6 months on a star freighter, and now the supply ship to Wolf Station. With the relic that both hides and guides me, I'm destined for the planet Wolf 359B with a companion, Mamo, who has offered to help me along the final stage of what now feels like a lifelong mission. Look, we're close to the space station. Mamo and I have spent many days together talking in the control room at night when he takes extra rotations to keep watch on the supply ship's instruments. As always, I remain in the crook of the porthole, out of sight of any other curious crew. I can't see it, just the big red star. It's there. The light reflecting off makes it hard to detect. And it's not so big. Do you know there's no personnel on board? Just maintenance bots. We'll have to distract them when we pass through. Yeah, at least there'll be no more people to hide from. We'll need to get past the others on this ship, of course. So who goes to the station to deal with the fuel cells? Oh, just one of us. Most of the docking and resupply is handled on this side. So you'll need to be that one person. Yes, I've made the request. No reason for it to be a problem. 4 days later, the supply ship enters the solar system of Red Dwarf Wolf 359, with its two orbiting planets visible across the bow of the ship. The control room is alive with commands as the crew observes Wolf Station responding to the presence of the supply ship by turning and opening its docking station. We've come all this way, let's get it right first time. The captain, an older man, bearded with hooded eyes, is relaxed but quietly watchful. The four other officers stand at their posts, their hands hovering at the instruments, and take back manual navigation from the ship's computer. Their tasks are routine by now, having travelled for years, refuelling stations across the galaxy. Mamo? The captain lifts his head to a monitor above his head. Ready? He receives a curt nod from the figure within, seen from above, waiting by the airlock, a small bag by his side, rubbing at his wristband with his other hand. You okay, Mamo? You seem a little tense. The figure shakes his head, looks up, smiles, and raises a confident thumb. Okay, I guess we should reverse the thrusters. We're coming in a little hard. The captain calls out laconically. Sure, that's done. Countdown. Each crew member voices in turn. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Dock, the captain finishes, his hands balled into fists. Locked. The four crew breathe out, almost as one, relief swilling between them. Even after all these times, I guess we still worry. The captain speaks what's on everyone's mind as they nod quietly at each other. Captain? First officer points at the monitor above her. Yes, yes, I see it. The captain squints at the screen where Mamo seems still. Mamo, just open the door. The big red button on your right. From the control room, they watch Mamo jerk into action. Press the door lock and walk through the first of the secure portals. He's okay. Don't know why he asked to do it. Must have done it 20 times already this trip. Does seem nervous. He's through the other lock. He's on the Wolf. Okay, so let's get on. We've some fuel cells to deliver. The captain rubs the back of his neck and frowns. On Wolf Station, Mamo has already set the gravity control and walks quickly to the control unit for the power cells. He checks the recharge interchange is slotted in from the supply ship. He notes the presence of a maintenance bot, its clumsy limbs locked to the floor while it scans the deck for structural weakness. Mamo knows that Kia is close by, clinging to her rucksack, the contours of the relic comforting her terror of discovery in this strange, impersonal place. She remains invisible, but there is a danger the maintenance bots might detect her presence. Kia, you have to run to the emergency craft, straight down this corridor, turn left. I need to buy us some time. Mamo watches her go, then looks at the bot. He knows what must be done, walks over and speaks quietly to the bot, who stands and ambles on its clumsy feet towards the airlock. Then Mamo runs back down the corridor to follow Kia. Hey, I can't see you. She reappears halfway down the corridor, sensor lights flickering on around her. Mamo hurtles down and they continue together. Won't they see us? The fuel will stop automatically. When it does, the airlock will open and I've told the maintenance bot to enter. That will trigger the close. But they'll know it's not you. Too late to do anything about it as long as we get on that craft now. The gravity will disappear any minute. Come on. They speed around the corridor and reach a smaller airlock with a simple hatch. Kia is bewildered. With her life in the hands of this new friend, she has no choice as events carry her on. Here, grab the lock and yank it. I need to... Mamo reaches for the auto release to the right and places his wristband across the red screen. Gravity stops just as Kia opens the latch and flings herself into the airlock with Mamo close behind. They race to the other side of the chamber and open the other lock, then into the cockpit of the small landing craft, flowing into the seats. With Mamo at the wheel, his wristband again presses at a small red screen. Let's go! And so they do. The short distance and the thin atmosphere of Wolf 359B makes for an easy trip. The small craft spins through the debris-strewn upper layers, then thin clouds to see a barren, mountainous planet. They had time to put on the spacesuits that lay underneath the seats as they laughed nervously at their escape, but the adrenaline drains from them as they stare at the empty world below. I hope you know what to do when we get down there. Me too. Kia hugs the rucksack and disappears for a moment before returning, her eyes glistening in the pale red light of the red dwarf star, Wolf 359. Look, can you see? She shouts, pointing at a series of rock formations in shapes similar to the markings on the inside of the skull. Okay, let's go down there. Mamo proves to be an excellent pilot and lands on a plate of sheer rock, careful to avoid the deep valleys which appear throughout the landscape. You know this is supposed to be uninhabitable, don't you? And no vegetation, Mamo exclaims, as if answering his own question. He checks his helmet, opens the cockpit, and clambers backwards to the short wing, jumping down to the solid ground while Kia checks her rucksack and begins to lift herself out too. Are you okay? She calls to him as he stands looking around. Yeah, just checking the oxygen. And? The readings don't make sense. How? She jumps down too and stands next to him looking out across the mountains and the eerie red glow. Contradictory. Let's move a little further on, see if the craft is affecting the readings. Mamo and Kia walk a few paces forward. Kia. She feels the familiar voice and the white noise that has called to her since finding the skull, and she pulls the rucksack from her shoulders, lifting the relic from inside. In that moment, everything changes. Mamo disappears. All around Kia, the land shakes violently as hundreds of huge stelae rise like buildings from caverns in the ground. In a storm of rock and grit, the blinding light from the star shifts from red to orange to yellow to pink and white, and the sound, a furious roar like gigantic waterfalls, batters at the air. And Kia stares at the skull as the light storm reveals the marking inside, and she finds she can understand them. Her head is bursting with sensations. Her limbs are shaking with the land, and she clamps her eyes shut, crying out unconsciously, repeating the words inside the skull. You find me. I find you. And so you have. Another voice thunders through the storm of light and noise. Kia steels herself to open her eyes. Welcome. Another voice and another. A swell of voices rides the first. Kia allows her eyelids to part a little and she sees a planet transformed, unrecognizable as the place she landed with Mamo only moments before. Mamo! Where is Mamo? She whirls around, frightened, watching her trail of movement in the air. He cannot see us. The voices swirl again, running over each other, around her, above her, below, and coursing around the steeler which keep rising still. But I can see him, I think. She peers through the fracturing light, sees a shadow where Mamo had been, as though now separated by a membrane, a thin film rippling and shivering. Where are we? Why can't he see me? Because he does not have the sight or the belief. He came to help you, but that is not quite enough. But what are you, gods? No. But we have been called so by those who do not understand what they see. So we're in your what, realm? Has so much to understand, but enough to say that just because a thing cannot be seen does not mean it does not exist. Does a beautiful flower in the forest exist if none can see it? If you cry, but none can hear, does it mean you do not cry? Well, so you are gods. No, but we are bound beyond the understanding of your people as you once were. Kia's eyes had begun to adapt to the new worlds around her, the sheer size of artifacts, angular objects, white and pink lights roving amongst them. So where are we? We are everywhere. We are not restricted by human perceptions. So you're not human? Oh no. We have been here since the beginning of your universe, glimpsed sometimes by those with far sight, at a beginning which is an end. Perpetually so. And the skull, how did I find it? Ah, look over there. Kia turned to see more shadows like Mamo's, but as she stared, she saw what could only be the dig at Aksum, and next to it the spaceport at Djibouti, and her father's market stall, and the porthole she slept in on the supply ship. So you sit inside everything. She talks more to herself than anything or anyone else. Everything connects through here. We exist in another dimension of time, one that runs alongside that which you are used to. We exist inside, within, and around. All points of your time are connected to our points, but our plane of existence touches all your points at once, and cannot be perceived in the ordinary events of decaying time, with its progression from one moment to another. Our time is all time and no time. Beginnings and endings are one and the same. Our time is infinitely infinitesimal, infinitesimally infinite. So I was meant to find the skull. She felt her perceptions growing to encompass this place within a place, this time with and around time. Of course, because already you had, and again you will, and because you and the skull are one. You have always been a lost soul and a found soul, for you too were born with us in the beginning, at the end. Kia looked at the place her father had appeared and saw a woman asleep, her father caressing her face, and she saw the dig at Aksum where the professor talked to the other students as though she had not been there, and then at the place where she remembered the shadow of Mamo appearing, and through the membrane that seemed to separate the different dimensions of time, she saw him kneeling, his hand outstretched, his palm resting on a face. It was her face, her still body, lying on the ground. Kia, the voice in her head, the white noise now expanded into the swirling voice in the storm of light. Yes? She found her voice, now joined with those around, overlapping itself with the sounds of the others. You are the season's beginning and the season's end. You are one of us again. Welcome home, beloved. Well, that was quite a mammoth story, stretched across the 4 weeks. Must say I'd really love to know what you thought of it. You can find us on Facebook at These Fantastic Worlds, on Twitter at JakeJackson451, and Instagram, JakeJackson451. You might be interested to know that the story is based on the M theory, which is a unified theory of everything, combining superstring theory, quantum mechanics, relativity, and so on. One variation on the theory allows for the four dimensions that we know, another six dimensions, which are so infinitesimal we simply can't see them, possibly, and an additional dimension of time. So there are two time dimensions, which allows for a different view of the origins of dark matter. I'm not going to pretend that I really understand much of that, but it is still fascinating, and clearly there's so much more that we don't know. If you like this and any of the other stories, please do recommend to your friends. This podcast appears on Apple, Google, Spotify, Verbal, Stitcher, all sorts of places. So this is Jake Jackson. That's it for now. See you next time. Goodbye.